భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైస్థితి. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 46 టెక్స్ట్ 64. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ అత గోపీరనుజ్ఞాప్య యశోదాం నందం ఏవ చ గోపాన్ ఆమంత్ర్య దాసార్థో యస్యాన్ ఆరురుహే రథం. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ అత గోపీర్ అనుజ్ఞాప్య యశోదాం నందం ఏవ చ గోపాన్ ఆమంత్ర్య దాసార్థో యస్యన్ యాస్యన్ ఆరురే రథం. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ అత గోపీర్ అనుజ్ఞాప్య యశోదాం నందం ఏవ చ గోపాన్ ఆమంత్ర్య దాసార్థో యాస్యన్ ఆరుర్వే రథం. శుకదేవ గోస్వామి సెడ్ అత టెన్ గోపీ ఆఫ్ ద గోపీస్ అనుష్ణాప్య టేకింగ్ పర్మిషన్ యశోదాం ఆఫ్ మదర్ యశోద నందం కింగ్ నంద ఏవచ ఓసో గోపాన్ ఆఫ్ ద కౌహర్డ్స్ ఆమంత్రియ టేకింగ్ లీవ్ దాసార్హ ఉద్ధవ డిసెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ దాసార్హ యాస్యన్ బీయింగ్ అబౌట్ టు లీవ్ ఆరూరే మౌంటెన్ రథం ఇస్ చారియట్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్. సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి సెడ్ ఊర్ధవ ద డిసెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ దసర్హ దెన్ టుక్ పర్మిషన్ టు లీవ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద గోపీస్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ మదర్ యశోద Nanda Maharaja. He made travel to all the cowherd men and about to depart mounted his chariot. As there is no purport, I am reading the next verse. As Uddhava was about to leave, Nanda and the others approached him bearing various items of worship. With tears in the eyes, they addressed him as follows. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Nanda and the cowherd men did not approach Uddhava as a formality, but rather out of spontaneous affection for a dear friend of Krishna's. As we are in the last few verses of this chapter and there's not much of a purport, I'd like to finish it. Nanda and the other cowherds said, "May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, may our words always chant his names, and may our bodies always bow down to him and serve him." The residents of Vrindavana were firmly convinced that even if they could not have direct association with their beloved Krishna, they would never be indifferent to him. They were all topmost pure devotees of the Lord. 67. Wherever we are made to wander about this world by the Supreme Lord's will, in accordance with their reactions to a fruitive work, may our good works and charity always grant us love for Lord Krishna. 68. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O ruler of men, thus honored by the cowherd men with expressions of devotion for Lord Krishna, Uddhava went back to the city of Mathura, which was under Krishna's protection." The word Krishna Palitam indicates that even though Uddhava became quite attached to the land of Vrindavana, he returned to Mathura because Sri Krishna was personally displaying his transcendent pastimes there. After falling down to pay his homage, Uddhava described to Lord Krishna the immense devotion of the residents of Braja. Uddhava also described it to Vasudeva, Lord Balarama, and King Ugrasena, and presented to them the gifts of tribute he had brought with him. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Virada Sasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, so for those who are here for the first time or those who have not been coming regularly, we are in this is the Canto 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And at chapter 47, we are doing the last few verses. So what was in this chapter? Basically, we understand that Krishna sends Uddhava to go and console the gopis, because the gopis are very distressed that Krishna has left him. So that was what we saw in the last chapter. Uddhava comes to the gopis and meets them. So it continues here. And when the gopis are reminded about their relationship with Krishna, they are weeping openly. You know, they are not shy, they are not ashamed of crying openly in front of Uddhava. And so Uddhava is consoling them. While doing so, they are also remembering the pastimes that they had with Krishna, you know, in the groves of Vrindavan or whatever pastimes they had. There was one gopi. The Bhagavad Gita chapter, it says one gopi was deeply meditating upon the pastimes, noticed a bumblebee. Now, it doesn't mention who this particular gopi is, because obviously it's Radharani, but it's not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As you all know, the word Radharani is not to be found in Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, but in this chapter, it is also revealed to us that Srila Jiva Goswami confirms that that one gopi, is none other than Radharani, quoting the Agni Purana. Those verses are there in the earlier verses. Now, Uddhava continues to praise the gopis. He says, no, you're not ordinary people, you're very supreme beings. And he also confirms his supreme position, and then he recognizes the pure love that the devotees have. He recognizes that, and he, in fact, after recognizing this pure love that the gopis have, he even prays, "Let me become a creeper or a bush in my next life, in Davana, so that the dust of the gopis." I mean, the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis can fall on me. If I'm a creeper somewhere here, they'll be running, and I know I can get the dust. That was the kind of adulation that Uddhava had for the gopis. And then what happens is, he now conveys the message that Krishna gives to the gopis. So he tells them that, look, you know, you are very, very dear to Krishna. And Krishna, of course, Krishna says, "I am the Supreme Personality of God, I am the creator of the three worlds, I protect, I give." So the whole thing, so he says, Krishna said all this, and that you are very dearmost to him. In fact, he says, even more dear to him than the Lakshmis. So, this way he pacifies the gopis. And then, finally, after having said all that, he accepts gifts from Nanda Maharaj, from Yashoda, and then takes the gifts, and he goes back, though he doesn't want to leave Vrindavana, because he's so attached to it. Reluctantly leaves Vrindavana, goes back to Mathura, and in Mathura he gives all these gifts and messages from the gopis and to Krishna, Balaram, and King Ugrasena. So that's what the whole chapter is about. So this chapter is known as the Song of the Bee. Actually, it's slightly erroneous, because the song of the bee, we will understand that it is, that's the bee singing this song, the song of the bee, isn't it? Now we'll find out more about the song of the bee, or more about the bee. Actually, it should be properly. I mean, I'm not trying to correct it, but this is Sanskrit. You know, I'm just saying that here it's actually, it is a song for the bee. The bee doesn't sing here. It's Radharani singing a song for the bee. It's slightly different. But what you have to understand is, I was telling you the other day about, there are, at least I've counted about 38 Gitas. When you talk about Gita, there are 38 Gitas. And of course, none of them are equivalent to Bhagavad Gita. That's a song by the Lord Himself. So, when you say Gita, it means Bhagavad Gita. Any other Gita needs to be qualified. But this song of the bee is known as Brahmara Gita. Brahmara is a bee. And the bee. So this Gita was sung towards the bee by Radharani. Now, what happens is, Radharani is imagining, or not imagining, they say when she goes into deep meditation about the pastime, and suddenly she sees this bee coming to her feet. And then she takes that bee to be a messenger from Krishna, and then starts a conversation with the bee. But in the Bhagavatam, the bee doesn't speak. But in other scriptures, there is also the bee talking. There is also there. I've read such things. Anyway, coming back to the story, what happens is when Uddhava comes to Vrindavana to see Radharani, or the gopis actually, and then they lead him. They give him an asana to sit. But he pays his obeisances. He doesn't take the seat because this is, you know, you are so, like, you know, he felt normally the most learned or the most senior person takes the asana. Now, in this instance, he felt that he is nobody. You know, the gopis are so elevated, now can he take an asana? So he prays, he actually offers his obeisance to the asana. And then there he sees there's one lifeless thing there. There is one person lying there who is almost lifeless. It is like a golden doll. That's the description. There was a golden doll and the limbs were smeared with sandalwood paste. And Uddhava says, what is this? And then you see some of the gopis are trying to revive this person as he's dead. Come on, wake up, like that. And then, this is explained to us that this is a state, it's a transcendental state known as Divyon Mada. Now look at the word, Divyon Mada, that's Sanskrit. Now what's the English equivalent or English translation to those words? Divyon is divine and Mada is madness. Look at this close similarity. Divine madness is Divyon Mada. Sometimes they say, oh, this is ancient, this is barbaric, you're talking nonsense. And you know, and English is only for 500 years, and this is going on for millions of years. So, you know, I'm just, of course, there are so many other words like that, but I'm just giving a, because we are reading about Divyon Mada. So this divine madness state. So what happens in the divine madness state? You speak incoherently, you know, you speak like, you don't speak properly, you speak language that is very difficult to understand or very confusing. Now, we are told in Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura speaks in Sri Ujjwala Nilamani, and he talks about this state, and he says, calls it Chitra Jalpa, then he's speaking in very different types. In fact, he says there are 10 different types. And he calls this one Prajalpa. Normally we understand Prajalpa because as a, you know, we know that you're not supposed to indulge in Prajalpa. You know, like in the temple, is it, Prabhu, have you heard the latest? So-and-so wants to get married to so-and-so. Really? I always thought so. But the temple president is disallowed. Or something like that, you know. This is Prajalpa, which means useless gossip. But here, the word prajalpa is not useless gossip, it is a transcendental discussion. And it says, in the Bhagavatam itself, because what is said here, I'm just going to say, it says, there are four types of prajalpa. And this prajalpa is, the first one is asuya, which means envy. So Radharani is speaking to this messenger, the so-called bee, and she is showing envy. Envy in the sense, she tells the bee, oh, you know, your Krishna, your master, your so-called soul leader, you know, he cannot live without women. He needs women all the time. So now, all the, you know, all the Mathura Ramanis, he says, the Mathura Ramanis. Now, What would be like an equivalent will be like, say you're living in Shepparton with your girlfriend, and one day you decide to go off to Melbourne or say Melbourne. So your girlfriend is very angry with you. Oh, okay, you want to go to Melbourne. You can go to Melbourne, have fun with the Melbourne chicks or something like that. So the Mathura Ramanis is like the Mathura chicks, you know, all the, because, you know, all the princesses there. So the envy that he's having fun he's enjoying himself with the princesses. And, you know, we are just ordinary people, we are cowherd girls, you know, we are uneducated. And he will be having a lot of fun with them. So that is one, asuya. Then the other one is garva or pride. And when this bumblebee comes close to the feet, so Radharani says, don't touch my feet. You know, don't, go away, don't touch me. Said, why? Because I can see your feelers, you know, from the feelers of the bumblebee, I can see kumkum there. And where did you get this kumkum? Krishna is crushing his girlfriends, and when he crushes the girlfriends, their kumkum touches the garland of Krishna. So it smears the garland of Krishna. And you are also another useless person. You'll go and sit on that bumble, you know, on the garland, and because you sit there, the kumkum is on your feelers, and I can save, you know. So he's a cheat, and you're also a bigger cheat. And you come, you know, pretending to be a nice person. So that is the second one, which is known as garva, pride. Then the third one is what is known as avajna, disrespect. You know, sometimes, you know, even this, I mean, all these things happens in material life also, but in a very perverted way. Sometimes the husband and wife can call each other disrespectfully, but out of love, you know. So that kind of thing. So what happens here is, in disrespect, he tells, you know, he calls Bambi that you are a cheat, and then your lord, your master is a master cheat, like that. And then he says, my priyabandhu. My priyabandhu means my loving friend. That is Krishna. So she addresses Krishna very nicely. My priyabandhu. And then she says, he is a durta and a dita, which means he's a cheater and a very stubborn person. He won't listen. Why can't he be satisfied with me alone? But he wants the whole world. Like that. Then the last one is, it is said as apahasa, which is ridicule and taunt. So it tells the bee, your master, you know, like, you know, like he was a hunter. Hunter means, you know, it's like a, you know, like a low caste thing, you know. Hunter, you know, you're a kshatriya, you're a brahmana, that's good. But you're a hunter, you know, you're a sudra, you know, you're good for nothing fellow. You just go to the jungle and shoot animals, that's what you do. So he said, he's a hunter, she says, and he says, who killed the monkey king? So, and also he said, you hid yourself. You are hiding and killing a monkey king. So the reference here is, what she was saying was, when Vali and Sugriva, in the pastimes of Ramayana, so Sugriva gets assurance from Rama that he will kill. So Rama hides and then kills this Vali. So that's the reference here. She says that, you know, he's calling him a hunter, you know, killing a monkey. So that's what your boss is. Then she says, he is also, he takes away gift from the king. You know, this is your master. He goes to a king, and the king is giving so many gifts. And he takes all the gifts, binds him nicely, and then sends him to Patala. Here, the reference is, seeing Bali Maharaj, Vamana goes to Bali Maharaj and then approaches for gifts and finally binds him and then sends him to Patala. And then the third one is, he's overcome by the beauty of one woman. So he's overcome by the beauty of one woman and is so infatuated with that beauty that he even goes to the extent of disfiguring another woman. So it's again in Ramayana that he's very much attached to Sita, and when Surpanaka comes there, he is the mastermind who actually disfigures. The nose of Surpanaka is cut. So this is where she's taunting and ridiculing. That's your master. This is the sanity of your master. It's good for nothing. So all this is part of the so-called speech here. Now, but we all know that the gopis had unalloyed love. And this unalloyed love is not only meant for the gopis alone. It is said that this unalloyed love is available to all. And how do we get it? We get it by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why we read the Bhagavatam daily. Why we are reading Bhagavatam daily? So that we could get some, what you call, love for Krishna. Now, it says in the first chapter, in the first, second verse, I think, Dharma Prochita Kaitava, the Bhagavatam says, Dharma, that means religiosity without cheating propensity. So, by reading this Bhagavatam daily, that's what we say, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we can slowly get rid of this cheating propensity, and then at least get, if we don't get unalloyed love, we will get some love for Krishna. Now, why is love important? Because love, you can conquer another person by love alone. Now, if you try to, you can conquer a person by putting him, you know, you can put a person in jail. Physically you can control him like that, but mentally you can't control that person, because the minute he gets a chance, he's going to run away from that prison. So, but if a person is conquered by love, then even if he choose to chase away that person, and the person will not want to go away. You know, two lovers, when they get so much into love with each other, and if one lover says, I'm going away, the other person, no, you don't go. You know, there's so much attack. Love has got. But when there is, if you use force, then there will be problems. Now, what happens is, in pure love, this heart, it says that whose heart is bound, Krishna is bound by the rope of love. So somebody might say, if you're bound by a rope, any rope, you know, if you've got a husband, you've got a wife, and you put a rope on a leg and keep it to yourself, then, you know, you say, what is this, you know, you say, well, my wife loves you, but, you know, you've got a rope, she can't run away. So, but here, this rope of love is, it's not like a limiting kind of thing, but here, it's captivation of Krishna within the heart. You're so captivated by Krishna within your heart that you can't just, you're bound. That's a bound here, or that's a binding here. Now this, of course, many examples are there, and two most, very prominent examples will be Yashoda herself. She tried to bind him in the Damodara pastimes. And of course, as the mother, she was all the time, you know, she was completely captivated by Krishna. And the other one is the hero of the Mahabharata, Arjuna himself. He was so captivated by the love of Krishna, and Krishna personally served him. Now, while reading all this about Srimad, about the pure unalloyed love that is available in Bhagavatam, I cannot remember this story. You know, I'm a storyteller, I like to tell stories. Now, basically, this is about the pastime that is of Narada. You know, Narada has had many births, at least 7 births or even more. So, in his first birth, he appears when Brahma creates the Prajapatis, and he appears on the lap of Brahma. So what happens? As usual, Brahma wants to procreate. So he wants the procreation. And Narada, having understood the goal of life, the spiritual values of life, refuses to be part of this procreating plan. So when that happens, so Brahma curses him to become a Gandharva. So he takes the birth of a Gandharva, and he was known as Upabharana. Now this story is also there in the Bhagavatam, but some of you might not remember it. So Upabharana was a famous Gandharva. He was meditating on the Himalayas, and then the princess, about 50 princesses come by that way. And they fall in love with him. Of course, a long story, I'll make it brief. So he marries the 50 princesses. So in earlier birth, he refused to procreate. Now he gets 50 beautiful princesses. That's because of the curse of Brahma. Now what happens is, one day Brahma has a big party in Satyaloka. So he wants all the dancers and singers. So Gandharvas and Apsaras and all are invited. So our hero, Upabharana, he is going to the Brahmaloka. And then, of course, he's singing. He's singing, and what is he singing? He's a great singer. And what is he singing? Of course, he's singing the pastimes of Lord Krishna and the gopis. And while he's singing, the apsaras are doing the dance, and they're doing the dance, you know, with the various mudras. And if you want to know more about all these mudras, you know, if you come for Janmashtami, if you go upstairs, you know, all these matajis will be performing dances, various mudras. Now, while this was going on, the pastimes of Krishna, suddenly Upabharana was attracted by the beauty of the apsaras themselves, and especially one Ramba. So he was distracted by this beauty of Ramba. When that happened, he missed a beat in his singing. There was an upper swara. And as soon as he missed the singing, Lord Shiva was there, you know, all the important people, the whole gang, the whole group was there, and Lord Shiva straight away looked at him, and his third eye opened and fire shot out. He was so angry, what are you doing? You know, and he knew that his mind was distracted by the beauty of the apsaras, and that's why he missed this. And he opened. And next was Agni. He's always talagyani, so he knew that there's something wrong, and he was very angry, and he's fire himself. So fire coming out of fire is not a big problem anyway. And likewise, all the devas, they all got angry, and they all knew what was happening. And fire shot out of them. And it says the fire was 50,000 yojanas or something like that. Can you imagine? And coming towards our hero, Upabharana. And what did he do? Whatever Draupadi did in the court, he did the same thing. O Govinda, O Krishna, Rakshamam, please save me. There's no other way. And then there appears the golden chariot. Golden chariot with diamond studded seats. There were two seats, one upper seat and one lower seat. In the upper lower seat was Vishakha and Radharani and Lalita. And in the upper seat was Lord Krishna himself in his Tribhanga form with his flute and the three bent form. And then came there, and then he just told the fire, go to the corner of Satyaloka. And so the fire was sent to the godown in Satyaloka to be distributed later. So, and then of course, all of them paid obeisances, and then he told Upabharana, the time has come for the curse to be over, the curse that Brahma has given. He said, the time has come. Now you have to go and preach my glories. And then he explained to some of them who didn't know his previous birth. And after that, of course, you know, all of them are giving, you know, all kinds of praises. Of course, there's a whole lot of things. So then he goes back to, in his next birth, then he, you know, takes another form of Narada and he preaches. That's one thing. Now the thing is, when we talk about this unalloyed love, you know, it's very difficult for us to understand. Because in the material world, whatever, especially now in Kali Yuga, love has become, it's taken such a tragic, end or turn. You can see that even though they say that mother's love to the child is closest to, you can have love for Krishna, your love for Krishna. But these days, mothers are just simply going and killing their babies. People don't understand this. People say everything is nice, they look at this, you know, we have advanced. Many of my friends tell me their looks. We are so advanced now, everything is going on nicely, why you all want to do all this? But they don't understand. They don't even understand. Like, you know, they're happily eating meat, for instance. Eating meat. And so this is nice, everything is going nicely. But at the same time, when they have a pregnancy that they don't want, it's very simple. Make an appointment with the gynecologist and just get rid of the baby. They don't think that, you know, this is a reaction and I'm killing my baby. They don't know that. It doesn't even, you know, they don't even understand that. It doesn't sink into them. So when you say, but what is so fantastic about this society? I say, when there are so many millions of being, abortions are going on. In India, it's legalized now. So even in 5 months or 6 months or whatever, you can still go and kill. It is actually a legality to kill. But they don't understand, the idea is not sunk. And at the same time, that's only one part of the problem. The other part of the problem is the mental problems. People worry so much and they get very disturbed so much mentally this age. And that's what husband and wife can fight very easily. In so much so, like I always said, if a wife is killed, the first suspect is the husband. Or if the husband is killed, the first suspect is the man. Now you will see, last week we saw this in the papers. This week we are seeing the papers. Next week again you will see, in Sydney, the man killed the wife. And the wife killed the wife, husband. This is going on. So in the early days, we used to have stories of this kind of material love. There was this husband and wife, again story. There was this husband and wife who very much loved each other. So what happened was, one day they had dinner, and soon after dinner, the wife was gasping. She was gasping, she was can't breathe, and she was, as if she was like the throat was stuck and she couldn't speak properly. And then she's trying to tell the husband some. So husband is saying, "No, calm down, don't worry." And the husband is in tears. Suddenly see the beloved is like that, and she says, "This is too serious now." Calls 991, ambulance comes, and they both rush to the hospital. In the hospital, emergency, what happens, you know? And then now she's turning blue and she's frothing from the mouth, and she's still telling, "I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something." But he says, "No, no, don't worry, my dear, don't worry. You don't have to tell me anything." Normally people, when they, you know, and then the doctors come in and they say, "Look, it's all gone, you know, I don't know." They wash their hands off, you know, and they say, "Look, we have tried our best. It's death is imminent." So the wife is still trying, "I want to tell you something," and the husband says, "No, no, don't worry, you know." Finally, you know, people who are dying, they would like to make a confession. If you want to know more about this confession, you go and see any Hindi film. Every film will have this confession. Throughout the 2.5 hours, he'll be creating so much of trouble, and then in the last scene, and then he'll be confessing, "I'm so sorry why I created so much of trouble." Anyway, so she confesses, "And I cheated on you." So the husband says, "I know, that's why I poisoned you." So this is modern, life, you know, because in love, it's very clearly stated in the Bhagavatam, there cannot be cheating. If there is cheating, two things: you can't be envious, you know, you can't cheat. Envy, all of us have envy, you must understand that, all of us here have envy. Don't say, I am not envious, every one of us has envy, only thing the degree may vary. You know, people, some will have a lot of envy, people outside even will have more, so people are so envious about Krishna. In fact, we are here because we are envious. We were envious of Krishna. That's why in the material world. So from the spiritual world, he said, "Why all this for Krishna? Nothing for me." Sankalpa matrena, he says, because I just think 84,000 species, 84 lakhs, 8,400,000 species are created for you, and you just transferred from the material, spiritual world to the material world because of envy. But when we, by practicing bhakti, we can start reducing this envy. So, but if you have envy, you can't have love. You can't have both together. You can't say, I love the person, you are also envious of the person. That's not true. Now, what happens here? So, similarly, you can't also have, you can't be cheating. Then it's not love if you cheat. That's the whole thing. So, that is, love kills. Love kills. And love is also blind. We have heard that so many times. Here there was another story I remember. There's this blind girl. I mean, she was totally blind. She couldn't see anything. And she was, she hated herself. She hated everything because she was blind. And there was so much of hate in her. But one good thing, she loved only one person. She had a boyfriend. And she loved him very much. And then she told him, you know, and many times the boyfriend said, "Why don't you marry me?" He said, "No, I can't marry you. I can only marry you if I can see." So that is the thing. So this goes on for some time. And one day somebody donates a pair of eyes to her. These are moral stories. These are not real stories. They are moral stories. But sometimes, you know, they may partially be real too. So what happened was a pair of eyes. And then she could see again. And then she was so excited, and she saw the boyfriend, and the boyfriend said, "Now will you marry me?" She said, "No." Why? Because the boyfriend was blind. She didn't know the boyfriend was blind. I said, how can you marry a blind man? So I won't marry. So the boyfriend was in tears. He went away and sent her a letter. And what is that note? Just take care of my eyes. The boyfriend donated the eyes. And after, so that's also to show that the ambiguity of the mind is so fickle. It keeps changing like that. Now, back to a story now, that what happens is in the real life of, in the unalloyed devotion that the Radharani had for, or the gopis had for Krishna is unexplainable. It is very, very difficult. Sometimes we think, you know, sometimes Mataji might look there and say, I'm also like Radharani. But then next minute we see, you know, she's there on the staircase waiting for prasadam. Now I'm not trying to insult anybody, I'm trying to joke, you know. What I'm saying is, look at the state, like the state where Radharani was lying down like dead, as if dead, and people trying to reward. That is the kind of love that they had for the, you know, for the thing. So, what I'm saying is here, in this unalloyed love, though it is available, but we have to be careful with this. Now, also, in this instance, we have to know about Jayadev. Jayadev, you know, he wrote this, we call him Jayadev Goswami. Vaishnavas call him Jayadev Goswami. But in, many people know about Jayadev. You know, Jayadev wrote the masterpiece known as Gita Govinda. That's another Gita. Now in the Gita Govinda, we are actually prohibited from reading it. So somebody might say, if it is prohibited from reading, why are you talking about it? It is like even Rasa Leela. We are prohibited from, you know, like participating in it or, you know, even discussing it. Why? Because they are very, very intimate pastimes. And unless you are ready for it, you know, in the sense if you are elevated yourself in a spiritual manner, you will not understand the inner meanings of that. But then again, we know about Rasa Leela. We know that Krishna had pastimes with the gopis, but we do not go to the details of it. Similarly, the Gita Govinda, though, is a very, very, literature that is very, very intimate. And we will not go to the details, but we will know it because for certain reasons. Now, Gita Govinda is that Jayadeva wrote the Gita Govinda. He appeared about 300 years before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he used to read many literature, his favorite was Gita Govinda. Now, we can't say Mahaprabhu read, so why can't we read? Because Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu. We are not even ordinary Prabhu, so we are different. So we have to understand that. Now, what happens is, in the Gita Govinda, what happens is, the story begins like this, that Krishna is a child, young child, you know, is about, like a baby. And there was a storm, and when this is probably happening in Varshana someplace, and in the storm, Krishna is very scared. He appears to be very scared, you know, with the lightning and thunder. And then, so what to do? So they said, okay, let us send him home to Golok. And they said, okay, Radharani tells Radharani to take Krishna back home to Gokul. So while passing the groves of Vrindavan, you know, they have to pass Vrindavan, go to Golok. I think the details may not be proper, but the principle of the story is, you know, it's the same. But while going through, this baby Krishna is no more Krishna. He becomes the youthful form. And then they have their pastimes there. That's how it begins. And then much later, the youthful pastimes goes on with all the time with the thing. But what happens is, in the Gita Govinda, graphic details are given. Now, Jayadeva was such a great devotee of the Lord that he actually sees the pastimes and he writes them. So you could see it's all happening in before him. So, you know, this happens to, you know, those great, devotees. And then he writes his pastimes. Now, what we have to know is, this Jayadeva, he while seeing these pastimes, Then the other thing is, he's writing, that's the Gita Govinda. It's got about 12 sargas, and each sarga is about 24 octaves. It's all sung in a very, very classical style. Now, what happens is, in this one, he talks about how, the same thing, Radharani comes to Krishna, and then suddenly Radharani discovers a dot on Krishna's chest, the bindi. So how did he get the bindi? Not hers, somebody else's. So of course, you know, she gets very angry, now what is this? And so Krishna gives her, you know, tall stories. Oh no, I don't know, I went and I was climbing up the trees and coming down the street, probably this dot was there and stuck on me, and you know, this kind of explanation he was giving Radharani. And of course Radharani was so upset, you know, when she saw that bindi there. So she became so upset that, you know, she was crying and was angry and that. And then what happens is, that was springtime, and Jayadeva could actually see that the nature, the material nature around Radharani was consoling her, you know, like when a baby cries, "Hey, don't cry, baby, here, take this toy," you know, like that. So when Radharani is crying, nature is working towards her, consoling her, which means the trees were there, the leaves were coming out, they're coming continuously. New leaves were showing, flowers were coming, even fruits were coming. It is said that when much later, after having finished the Gita Govinda, and when Jayadeva was singing in a court, when he sings those verses, when this happened, it seems it will happen in the, much later, it happens in the court itself. Leaves coming forward and flowers coming forward. And in fact, there was one particular poet who challenged Jayadeva, and the fruits were coming out, and even one fruit is supposed to have fallen on his head, the guy who challenged Jayadeva. That was the power of Jayadeva. Now, another very interesting pastime was, when Radharani, the same thing again, this is the Rasa Leela is going on, they are in the center, Krishna and Radha in the center, all the gopis around. And while they are dancing, Radharani misses a step, because she looks at Krishna and she gets so, you know, so absorbed, and then she, of course, Radharani is Radharani and Krishna is of course Krishna. But still, this is a pastime, so they misses a step. So Krishna, what he makes use of this and mocks them. Fools, oh look at you, you can't even dance properly. And then she's very hurt, she's very disappointed, unhappy. And then she scolds Krishna. Oh, you are this, you are that. But after having scolded Krishna, again, she says, oh, what a rascal I am, what a person I am. How can I scold you? I mean, you are my sweet, you are my lover, you are everything to me. How what a wretched person I am. How could I have scolded you? And my heart is broken into 1,000 pieces. You know, she's so wretched, she feels so wretched. And now, what does Krishna do? Krishna says, now I'll read the Sanskrit. She says that, I have not underlined it. Yeah, dehi tava pada pallava udaram, he says. That means, listen, dehi, and be charitable. Tava pada, and put your feet, your lotus foot on my head. That's what he says, please. So if that, he's trying to console the lover, and just take your foot and put on my head. So Jayadeva writes that. And then those days it's palm leaf. I know some of those who've gone to India, you can see palm leaves even still there. Palm leaves are made into like rectangle sheets. And what you do is, there is no ink. You take a nail, it's a metallic thing, and then you hold it like this, and you write like this. And it's, you have a, you know what they call, impression upon it. And then you have to read against the light. You have to keep adjusting because you can't see it properly. No, that was the palm leaf those days. It was, everything was written in the palm leaf. So he wrote that and he read and he said, what am I doing, you know? What is this? How can the Lord take Radharani's food on his head? He tears the leaf and he throws everything, you know, I'm going crazy, what's wrong with me? And then he walks off and he tells his wife, I'm going to the river. I'll go and bathe and come back, and then after that I'll have prashanta. Said, yes, everything is ready, you know, you can come. He walks off. The minute he walks off, then 2 minutes later he walks in again. And he said, Padmavati is his wife. So Padmavati asked, what's happening? He said, yeah, I finished. So fast? Yeah, but normally you take 3 hours. You're worse than me. No, I'm all right. Okay, now what do? No, I just want to go in, write the, continue with my Gita Govinda first. And then goes into the room, takes out the palm leaf, he writes, scribbles something, and it's, yes, I'm ready for prasad. So, she's serving. Padmavati is serving. And Jayadeva is eating, and he's finishing almost everything. And said, yeah, I really, you know, this prasad is beautiful. And now I'm going to rest. So he goes to his room, walks behind the door, the bedroom, you can say. And then he went off to sleep. After about an hour later, there was a knock on the door. So who's that? Opens it. Jayadeva again. Said, hey, I thought you were sleeping. What? Sleeping? I told you, I am going to the river, I am going to bathe and come back and have prasad. What are you talking? Get the prasad ready. I want to eat. What do you mean, get the prasad ready? You just ate. You finished everything. You didn't even leave for me. And then now you're saying, you want to eat again. What is this? And then she quickly runs into the room, opens the room, and there's a babe. She's looking at the bed, she's going under the bed, she's going under the pillow. I said, what are you looking for? Who are you looking for? I'm looking for you. But I'm here. But, no. But I said, what happened? Then she tells him everything. That he came, you came, you said, you want to write, you took the palm leaf, you wrote, and then you said, prasad, I gave prasad, and he went to sleep. Then Jayadavanda said, oh my God, I know who had come. The Lord himself has come. He runs to the thing, the palm leaf, and he says, what is written there? And so it says the same thing, Dehi Tava Pada Pallava Udaram. The Lord himself is written, yes, that's what happened. You know. And after that, of course, he finishes, not immediately, after some time, he finishes the whole Gita Govinda. And even before presenting, he also wrote the Bhagavatam commentary. And he presented the Bhagavatam commentary even before the Gita Govinda. And the Gita Govinda was tested. Anyway, the story of the Jayadeva, there were two, I'm already getting excited. Jayadeva has got two important personalities in his life. One is his wife Padmavati. About Padmavati itself, there's so many stories, it's unbelievable. And the other one is Lakshman Sen, the king. The king was also so intimately connected with Jayadeva. And for a person like Jayadeva was such a great devotee, you won't believe some of the stories, you know, he was cut and he was unable to move, and even the wife died and he brought the wife back, and it's unbelievable stories about the whole thing. Anyway, what I want to say is, now how could a person like Jayadeva could have written such sweet pastimes, the Lord revealing and Lord himself coming and finishing, and even the people are testing and Lord Shiva himself coming and protecting him. So this is such a far out thing, because Jayadeva is none other than a partial incarnation of Lord Vyasadeva himself. That's why you could do all this, that you have to understand. Anyway, maybe some other time I will tell some other stories about Jayadeva. So, but basically here, this is what happens like in the pastimes of with the gopis and Krishna, and how that is related to us, and how we have to be careful that not only Rasa Leela or not only Gita Govinda, also even Madhurya Ras is something which is very, very, very highly transcendental. Everybody and anybody cannot, though we are supposed to be, in the movement, that we are all supposed to be like followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we can't straight away understand all this. Anyway, those of you who want to know more about all this, you have to discuss this with your guru. With that, I'll end here. If any comments or questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna, I think everybody is hungry, so we'll have some prasad after this. Prabhupada ki, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.